Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. And Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Lord, we prayed earlier today. We pray once again for Pastor Andre. Yes. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give him a speedy recovery. Yes. Lord, that you would heal his hand and his elbow and everything that the surgeon had to do today. And Lord, that he would come back stronger than ever. And Lord, that he would be able to use his arm, his hand, like never before again, God. That you would do a new thing in him, oh God. And so, Lord, as he awaits for the healing to take place, I pray, God, that you would continue to supply all of his needs according to your riches and glory. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And if you have your cell phones, fax machines, scanners, if you could put them, please, on the off and silent position. Amen. I've entitled this evening's message, Let God Be True and Every Man a Liar. What? Let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, yes, yes, yes. So, if we're there, Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and we're just going to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way tonight. Amen? Amen? And so it reads, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Verse 2, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? And then verse 4, certainly not. Indeed, let God, what? Be true, and every man a liar. So I just didn't make up this topic. This is the Word of God, found in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Look at this. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Verse 5 through 7. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? Woo, that's a good question, huh? So all these questions that Paul was alluding to, Paul the Apostle, they're all rhetorical. In other words, he asked these questions, but he has the answer. Okay? And as we go into this verses of Scripture, we're going to go a little deeper because 2,000 years have passed and God has given us today more revelation of the Word. Amen? And so, let's start with verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Here's the problem, saints of God, that Paul was having, is the Jews did not believe that they had to be saved through Christ. In other words, they had the law. They said they had the law of Abraham. They had the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, and the line of Abraham. Let me check that. So they were the line of Abraham, and they had the law of Moses. So they didn't need anything else. But this is why God raised up Paul the Apostle. Because he was what? Not only was he a Jew, but he was one of the most elite rabbis of the day. He was from the line of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. This man had accolades. He was a scholar. He was the attorney of the day. And they all marveled at him. They all came to his synagogue. And they all sat at his feet. Why? Because who was his teacher? Who was Paul's teacher? It was Saul of Tarsus then. Who was Saul of Tarsus' teacher? It was Gamaliel. So he had all the right teaching. And this is why God saved him. You know why? Because God saved him to testify to these Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Wow. Why do you think God saved you? Why do you think he saved you? So that your family would believe and see Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
Oh, come on. It's no different. God had to save him to testify to these Jews at the time that Jesus is the Messiah. So God saved us to testify to your brother, to your sister, to your aunt, to your uncle, to your mom and dad, to your grandparents, if they're still alive, to your nieces and your nephews, that Jesus is the Messiah, that we need to repent and be baptized and be saved from this untoward generation, because this generation is untoward, meaning it is out of this world now. Oh, come on. I remember when I was 5 years old, we used to ride our little Stingray bikes until 9 o'clock at night and not have to worry about nothing. Now you can't. Before, we never locked our doors. You have to lock your door now. You better lock your windows. Put a stick in the window, too. Oh, someone has a stick in their window. Yeah, but we live in these days now, right? You see, God had to establish through Paul the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, praise God for Paul. This is why he was the most persecuted one of them all. It's because he had all that accountability. He was that great rabbi. And now he's preaching Christ Jesus. The same guy that was hunting the Christians down and burning them and killing them and dragging them into jails, feeding them to lions in the gladiator stadiums. The same guy. And yet, God said, okay, I'm going to have mercy on you, but I'm going to use you now. You know what's a blessing for you and I? God did not change your character. We got saved. We're the same character. We just got a renewed mind now. Our mind has been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we don't think and do the things that we once did. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We are new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And so this is what Paul the Apostle was battling. They had an issue with him. He didn't have an issue with the people. The people had an issue with him, and they wanted to kill him. But look what King David wrote in here. Let's go here in Psalms 147. Look at this. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt what? He has not dealt thus with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. What does that mean? That means God chose Israel to know the commandments, to know the judgments of God. All the heathenistic nations didn't know who the true and living God was. They were idolaters. They were wicked nations. They were called heathen nations, heathenistic. They all had, but Israel, the Hebrew people, God chose them to bring forth the law of God and the Messiah eventually. Wow. And this is why Israel is such a huge disputed place right now. That's why there's always continual war. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy Israel so that the word of God will be null and void. But that's never going to happen. Can I get an amen? Jesus is going to come destroy the enemies and set up his kingdom right there in Jerusalem. And we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. How many can't wait for that moment?
Yes.
to reign with him for 1,000 years in the brand new body. No more HMOs and PPOs. Can I get amen?
Amen.
No more waiting for the referral from your primary doctor to get to the specialist. No more waiting to get your meds approved, your surgery approved. There'll be none of that. We'll have a brand new body. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. You see, saints, Paul's conversion with his Jewish critic continues into this chapter as we were reading last week. And at the end of chapter 2, Paul had clearly stated that true Jewishness is not a matter of heritage. It's not. But a matter of one's relationship with God. That's what it's all about. And that true circumcision is not on the body, but in the heart. Did you know that we are circumcised of the heart? Come on. God had to cut away the foreskin of our heart. Meaning it was stony. You remember how stony it was? You didn't want to hear truth. You were a rebel without a cause. We lied to our parents. We lied to our teachers. We lied to the law. Oh, come on. You remember? Oh, you remember? My goodness. You see, the Jewish response might have well been, that's the advantage of being a Jew. We got the law. We got the heritage. We got Abraham as our father. It wasn't enough. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It wasn't enough. They needed Jesus, the Messiah. And when Jesus came on the scene, they rejected him. My goodness. So is there any value in the Jewish ceremony of circumcision? Paul gives this response in verse 2. Look at this. Let's go now to verse 2 of Romans chapter 3. Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. So what Paul was saying at that time, it was necessary. Because it separated them. It distinguished who this nation was. And there was a time for that. You see, Paul's answers, yes, there are advantages for those members of God's chosen nation. The Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. Praise God. God gave them the revelation first. And guess what? We got it 2,000 years later, huh? Amen. How many are so blessed to know that God had you and I Amen. In mind?
Amen.
Oh, come on. But at one time, the heathen nations, the Gentile nations, according to the word of God, were dogs. We were called dogs. We were heathenistic dogs to the Jewish people or to the Hebrew people at the time. And this is why they thought, you know, they walked around sometimes high and mighty. You know, I got it all going on here. You see, we see this in Exodus. Let's go to Exodus. We're gonna see something here in Exodus. In Exodus 20, look at this. And God spoke to all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember, they were enslaved for 430 years. You shall have no other gods before me. Little g. Because they had thousands of gods. Not as much as India. India has 365 million gods. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. See, we're going back to this to show you why they were so conceited, why they were puffed up. Look what God is showing us, that we are not to do no more. You know, in other words, we're chosen by God. So a lot of them wore that badge of what? They were braggadocious. Oh, come on, they were. They were puffed up. But we got to go back to see why. And this is why. Look at this. God was showing them all this. You're going to refrain from this. You're going to know what that is. You're going to know what that is. You stay away from that. And this is what this will happen to you. Look at this. In verse 5. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on their children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. The nations hated God. And guess what? They hate us today. If you're truly born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to get opposition. Because as soon as you start telling them about Jesus, this woke generation already distorted their mind. Oh, you're one of those hallelujahs. Oh, you're one of those holy rollers. Oh, you're the organization that all they want is your money. Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that, huh? We've been there, done that. We've seen that, huh, Pastor? Look at this. They hate me. Verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Look at verse 7 up here. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes on his name in vain. Look at this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger who is within the gates. Listen, let me just hit on this real quickly. We get 7 days a week. Let that Sabbath of yours, which we as Christians, we honor it on Sunday, right? Let it be a day of rest. Get into the Word. Let it be about God's business. Can I get an amen? Amen. The world, well, listen, you have to go back to the world the next day. Okay, we get that. But let Sunday be the day that you take it in, you relax, you're receiving instruction from God, you're basking in His presence. Let that be your day. And remember, I know there's denominations say, well, Saturday is the true Sabbath day. Listen, Jesus is our Sabbath. Every day should be our Sabbath. Can I get an amen? Because of who Jesus is. The majority of the Christian world happen to choose Sunday. So I don't care what day. As long as we come together and we celebrate Him. Can I get amen? Amen? We celebrate Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 10. Yes, verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath, the Lord your God, and you shall do what? No work for your son nor daughter, nor your male servant, nor female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is in within the gates. Verse 11 now. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. One of the things that I witnessed with my own eyes was my wife's mom and dad. And when it was time for them to depart, she honored them. She went and lived with them in their last days in their home until they went on to be with the Lord. I said, don't worry about me, honey. You go be with them. Go honor them. Go care for them. And we had the privilege to lead both of them to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We had the privilege and honor. We used to always invite Joel, her dad, to come to church. Now go ahead. Thank you. You know, and he would just watch his sports, his whatever. Until one day, he had congested heart failure. He only had months to live. I'm just going to share it because God wants me to share this. I pulled up to his home to drop Yolanda off because she was going there to go see her dad. And I said, I'll be back, honey. And I was pulling away from the curb and God spoke clearly to me. I have prepared his heart He's ready to receive me. Go back in that house. Man, I pulled my tires back to the curb, went in there. And it was just Yolanda, her brother Joe Jr., and her father was in the back room. Totally coherent. Understood everything. Still spoke to you. And we went to his bedside. I got on my knees by his bedside. I said, Joe, God sent me in here because he said it's time to receive Jesus. Do you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? He goes, yes, I do. I want him right now. And as soon as we started praying and asking the Holy Spirit, we're asking him to receive Christ, the Holy Spirit came into the room and lit up the whole room in the glory of God. Man, and the presence of God was in the room. Amen. Because we honored her parents. We honored them. We did exactly what the Bible says. Honor them. Bless them. He goes, I prepared this heart. And when he received God, tears were coming down like this. And we knew he had received the Lord. And we left with joy. We left with joy. Her brother, Joe Jr., was a witness to all this. And he was going, oh my gosh. And we know that we're going to see him again. We're going to see him again. And so notice how God went from the Sabbath to honor your mother and father. Look at this. That your days may be long on the land which the Lord God has given you. You want extended days on this earth? You better honor your mom and dad. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care if they mistreated you. You go back and you love them. And you be thankful. Guess what? Because when we were pushed through our mother's womb, who's the one that changed your diapers? Who's the one that fed you? Who's the one that cared for you when you were sick? They. Them. Forget about what happened when you became a young adult or what have you. Reconcile that. I'm talking to those who are listening right now that maybe still have an ought with their parents. Do what the Bible says to do. And watch God do the miraculous. Watch God do the miraculous. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long, which the Lord God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And so God was downloading, giving them the Ten Commandments. No other nation during this time received this law of God but these chosen people. And the heathen worlds hated them for that. Look at this in verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything of your neighbor's. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning, the flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. God was speaking from Mount Sinai. Look at this in verse 19. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us. You will hear. But let God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Wow. And in Deuteronomy 4:8, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? In other words, what other country has these laws that they can proclaim? But years went by, thousands of years went by. Now we're talking about Paul's day, and the Jews got all conceited about it. So we don't need this Messiah. We just have Abraham as our father, and we have Moses' law. Well, guess what? The law we know now cannot save you. The law points out our sin. The law says we deserve to die. But Jesus came to give us life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's the one that came to save us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, saints, that great privilege alone made the Jews even more responsible to live up to God's requirements, was those commandments. Paul himself was a Jew, and even though he became a dynamic believer, he did not turn back on his heritage. No, he went back to them to give them truth. This is why, when we get saved, we can't abandon our family. Can I get an amen?
Right.
We got to tell them truth. We got to go back to them and preach the gospel. We got to go back to them and say, look what happened to me. What could happen for you? But these Jews had no clue at this time. In fact, he realized that the prophets, the law, and God's plan all pointed to the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, saints of God, he could confidently state that being a Jew and being circumcised did have meaning at the time. Praise God. And I can't wait till we get to the point Pastor Art's been teaching us in Genesis, because this chapter that we were in last night kind of shifted away from Joseph. But next time we meet, it's going to go back to Joseph. And man, there's revelation out of that like no other. Oh my gosh. I'll leave it for us men on Tuesday night. Oh, we don't record that, do we? That's okay. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. And then the Jews were entrusted with God's words, preserving them until the coming of Christ, who was the fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 3 of Romans chapter 3. Look at this. For what if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? You see, saints, while it was true that many Jews were unfaithful to God or to what they had been entrusted with, that didn't change the fact that God was faithful. How many believe that God is faithful?
Yes.
Listen, I know we have family members, we have friends, we have co-workers, acquaintances that are still not saved. But that doesn't make God unfaithful.
That's right.
He's still faithful. Matter of fact, we wouldn't be here tonight listening to this word if God wasn't faithful. Can I get amen?
Amen?
God was faithful to save us. And guess what? We have to have the mindset he will save them too.
Yeah.
Well, come on. That's right. That's right. Look what it says right here in 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. This is a faithful saying. Say that with me. This is a faithful saying. Look at that. For if we died with him, we shall also what?
Live
with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. For if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. Can I get an amen in the house? God, come on, give God a shout of praise. Because God is faithful. He remains faithful. That's right. Yeah, he didn't give us that building yesterday, but he's still faithful. Because it wasn't coming from him. When it comes to us, we'll know. And we'll walk in and serve him gladly. Can I get amen? We'll walk in and serve him gladly. Hallelujah. You see, saints of God, many Jews rejected the gospel, thus failed to understand their own scriptures because Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament of the Messiah that would come, that would die, that would be raised again, and then he would come back a second time. I'm going to ask this quick question. Just raise your hand if you know it. What scripture comes to mind where Jesus, when he comes back for the second time, his feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives? What scripture is that? Come on, scholars. It's not in the New Testament. No, we're guessing now. We're throwing anything that'll stick on the wall. Here, let me throw that on the wall. Oh, no, that's not it. It's slipping down. Let me throw this one on the wall. Oh, nope, it's slipping down. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 says that when the Messiah comes and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, hallelujah, the mountains will split. The Dead Sea will be filled with fresh water and fish. And many will see his nail-pierced hands. This is the prophet in the Old Testament saying that his hands will be revealed to the Jews and his side. The prophet Zechariah states that in the Old Testament. And when they see, oh my gosh, it was Jesus, it was Yeshua, they're going to fall on their face. And all of Israel will be saved. Come on. Yes. It's happening. It's going to happen sooner than we think. We're around the corner. How many believe we're around the corner? Jesus is coming. He's coming. Okay, you know what's the proof that he's coming soon? Because he saved us at the last moment. Oh, come on. Come on. He saved us right in the nick of time. Can I get an amen? Remember, God doesn't, he doesn't dwell in our time realm. There's no clocks in heaven. So, you know, the good news is, when we get to heaven, we're going to worship him without being tired. We're not going to go, oh man, I got to be up early. I got to be up before. No, I'll see you. Where are you going? We're going to have bodies. We're going to have bodies. Glorified bodies. That could, guess what? Contain his glory. We won't be disintegrated in his sight because he's going to be so bright. We'll have bodies to contain his glory. And man, I'm telling you, how many remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? The corners of your mouth were like pinned to your ears. Man, and man, you were going, man, I got it. I got it. Now I know. I got the Holy Ghost. I know what it means now. That was just a little teaspoon to what we're going to receive in that new body. We'll receive all of his glory. It's going to be ecstasy 24/7. Words cannot describe the physical just joy unspeakable that we're going to encounter with him. Freely. That's right. And we don't have to, and we will never go in a desert place. Oh God, I don't feel you right now. Where'd you go? We don't have to worry about sin that will separate us from him. Do you know, if we willfully sin, he will back off us until we get it right with him. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. A lot of us have been there, done that. Look what Deuteronomy 7:9 says right up here. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for what? 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Guess what? All the commandments, 613, guess what? Did you know that all of us keep them? You're probably going, well, what's 541? Which one is that one? There's 613. What about 442? Which is that one? Here's very simple. Jesus told them to love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. The greatest. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws of God, all the commandments hinge on those two. So if you love the Lord Jesus with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, you have them all wrapped in now. You have all of them. How many are so blessed to know that? Unfortunately, you're going to have religious organizations. They're going to try to keep the law, and they try to, you know, I go, man, they missed it. They just missed it, right? They missed what God said. You don't have to go through all that. We're here by God's grace and by faith. Us heathenistic Gentiles. We heathens. Huh? We, man, we were the worst of the worst. Come on. You know where he found us at? I'm just speaking of me. Some of you grew up goody, good, good tissue. God had always been faithful to Israel, despite the nation's failings. And God would continue to be faithful to his covenant with them. Aren't you so blessed that we have a covenant now with God? Let's move on to Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Look at this. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. This is where I got tonight's topic. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. You see, saints, in the strongest terms he could use, this is Paul. But Paul wanted to drive home the point that the combined self-justification of the whole world cannot stand up to God's truth. Nowadays, this woke generation, you got your truth, I got mine. That's your truth, but I got mine. Really? I have to go Jack Nicholson on them. You can't handle the truth. Remember that? My goodness. The truth was birthed in us when we received Christ. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now that we have Christ, we have the truth. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed that when you hear God's word preached and you read it for yourself, that your faith just starts leaping? It goes leaps and bounds. You start growing in your faith. You're going, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I want more. I want more of God. Yolanda and I, we were reminiscing when we were at Mission Valley. We miss Pastor Leo. I miss my former pastor. He taught me how to preach expository teaching, line by line. And we couldn't wait. We were there early. We couldn't wait to hear him break it down. But that was a season in our life. This is our season now. This is our season. Drink it up. Drink it in. Drink it in before he comes, because he's coming for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen, if God and every person were to disagree, there still would not be any doubt about who was right. The fact that many people are unfaithful. Look what King David wrote in Psalms right up here. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Well, that cuts to the core, huh? Listen, I know we saved. I know we sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. But don't tell me you haven't lied since you've been saved. And it may be what a white, you know how we say there's black lies and white lies? Say that again, sister. Say that again, sister. They're all lies. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes we lie because it could be shameful. to reveal something in us, or whatever the case may be. And so we cover it up, we say something different. But see, that's why we need the new body. Because God will deliver us from that. We won't have the mind, we won't have that mind no more. We won't have sin reigning in our mortal bodies. Sin will be eradicated. We'll have a body just holy, sanctified, glorified. And this is why we need to say, oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come now, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from this body of flesh. Paul would always say, oh, God, deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me. And God did have to deliver him. And God did many times. You see, saints, by suppressing the truth, exchanging the truth for a lie, and rejecting the truth doesn't change the deeper fact that God is true. He's true. Doesn't matter. No matter how you want to box it in. No matter how you want to justify it. No matter how your unsaved friends and family want to justify it. God is true. God's purpose for Israel and his plan for all people remain unshaken till this day. Paul quoted from one of the most profoundly confessional passages in the Old Testament. Look at this in Psalms 51:4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be what? Found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. This is when he committed the unthinkable sin with Bathsheba. You guys know the story of King David? He should have went to war with his men. He stayed back, went out to the balcony, looked over his city, and right below, there was a woman that was not his, bathing. He saw her naked. He coveted her and went and got her. And then, her husband, Uriah, sent him to the front line to be killed so he can take her. And Nathan the prophet had to come and call him to the carpet. You know that you can't get away? Listen, this is what I love about King David, because it shows us who we are. We're no different from King David. But what we have in common with King David is we have a heart after God. And he had a heart after God. When Nathan the prophet had to come and call him to the carpet and told him a story, that he painted this picture. There was a farmer. He had only one little sheep. His next door neighbor had groves of sheep. But he wanted the one little sheep that one farmer had. So he took that sheep for his party. And it was his only sheep. And so the Nathan the prophet said, King David, what would you have done? He goes, I would have thrown that man in prison for life for taking his one only sheep. He goes, who is this man? And Nathan said, you are the man. You took that one man's only wife and killed him. King David could have had Nathan the prophet beheaded. He had the power to do that. But what did King David do? He fell on his face and repented. And he cried out, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Because there is no blame with God. God is just. We cannot argue against God. We're guilty men and women before him. He is just. And here's the thing about it. He knows the deepest secrets in our heart that no one else sees. I don't care how you want to hide it. I don't care how you want to put a lock and key and the things that you do in private. God still sees it. The bottom line. Well, it got quiet in here. Now, let me move on. Oh, they already shut me off on one of the social medias. Please, YouTube, don't shut us off. You see, saints, this records the repentance of David following his confrontation, as I mentioned, with the prophet Nathan over his sin with Bathsheba. In the revelation of his sin, David realized, as all of us must, that there is no denial before God. Can I get amen? No matter what predicament we get in, God knows it all. This is why we have to be careful how we entreat our unsaved loved ones. Yeah, they get on my last nerve. You know what? Let them. It's okay. You know why? Because God's putting us to the test every day. You want to win that loved one? Son, daughter, husband, aunt, uncle, whoever? Then learn how to love them unconditionally. What's that, sister? Long suffering. That's why he wrote in the word, love covers a multitude of sins. One of the reasons why my marriage works this time around than the first time around? Oh, well, number one, I'm saved. But the first time around, I didn't know how to love that one unconditionally. And so this time around, yeah, we can find, Yolanda and I, we can find each other's faults and failures. We can find the things that could nitpick apart. But all her shortcomings, I let the love of God that's in my heart cover all of it so I don't see it, because I don't want to see it. I love her unconditionally. Let her be who she is. I just want to love her to death. Amen? And that's what makes it go. Because I'm not going, Are we perfect? No. No, there's no perfect marriage. But guess what? If you do it God's way, it makes it work. It makes it work. And so, God is so good, huh? Come on, let's just give God a shout of praise. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We love you, God. We love you, God, and how you work in our lives, God. We love you, God. You see, he sees even those things that we hide so well in ourselves, and perhaps even to come to believe that they never happened. But God sees it all, right? Kings were used to getting their way, and we tend toward the same arrogance. Before God, it carries no weight at all. I'm going to share this story in the Word of God, how God is the true judge. And no one's going to get away with nothing. Can I get an amen? No one's going to get away. And look how this plays out. This is a parable that Jesus shared in the book of Luke. Let's go there real quick. Look at this. In Luke 29 through 18. Then he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to two vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Wow. Okay, so what Jesus was saying, this king raised up two vine dressers to plant and to water so that when the fruit came, they were now to give it out. Look at verse 11. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. Wow. And again he sent a third, And they wounded him also and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. Verse 14. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, hey, look, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be what? Ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, certainly not. But look at verse 17. Then he looked at them and said, what then is that that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever fails on, look up, whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind them to powder. What's this story about? It's about Jesus. It's all about Christ. He sent forerunners to preach the gospel that Jesus was coming. And when Jesus finally came, the Jews said, that's not him. And they rejected him. And they killed him. And they crucified him. He was telling a story of himself, what was about to take place. Wow. Jesus sent his only begotten son. So it ends with this. In the day of judgment, this chief cornerstone is going to fall on them and make them into powder. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. My. This is a serious matter. This is why when we sin, confess it to God. Go to God. Don't keep it hidden in your heart. Just confess, God, I failed. God, help me. Help me, God. Restore me, God. God, forgive me. Lord, I hurt you and you alone. This is why David said, I hurt you. You alone have I sinned. So let's move on to verse 5. We're almost done. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Saints of God, the apologist and Paul can foresee further objections arising. He poses them in the question of this verse. You see, my friends, he understands that people are usually more willing to rationalize than repent. In other words, they'll go, you know what? Let me justify this sin. Isn't it easier just to repent and give it to God and say, God, I've sinned? No, but we want to justify. This is why I did this. But God receives that. And their minds will be pondering ways to elude God's righteous judgment. Paul knows what they are thinking. Look at this. Look at this is a viewpoint. If my sinless makes God look so good, my sinfulness makes God look so good, then why should he punish me? I'm actually helping him out. Yeah, I did you a favor. This is who I am. This is the problem he had. Guess what? The problem still is here today. Can I get an amen? Okay, so let's move on to verse 6. We got two more verses. Can you endure? I'm not going to speed up. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? Did you know that God's going to judge this world? This is why we got cut off on Facebook. I showed the wickedness of mankind, and they cut me loose. I'm in Facebook jail for 30 days. And I couldn't collect $200. I couldn't pass go. That's okay. So, if you went to Facebook, just click on the link to YouTube. They'll get you there. Saints, eventually the final day of reckoning will come when God will judge all people according to what they have done. So let me just say this. No one's going to get away with anything, with nothing. Everything that we've done, said, our deeds, our heart, God is going to put it there and judge it. Now, for us believers, we will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And God's going to judge us according to what we've done as Christians, and then reward us according to what we've done. He's going to either give us or take some stuff away. But the Bible says, but we will be saved. But the unbelievers. How many know unbelievers? Let me just ask this honest and fair question. I'm just being transparent here tonight. How many of us know people in our life, you don't have to shout them out, that you know that they died without Christ? They died without having Jesus in their heart. They weren't born again. This is what will take place with all them. Right here in Revelation 20:11. Then I saw, this is again, remember last Sunday, we talked about the Apostle John. He wrote the whole book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. In Revelation 20:11-15, look at this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Remember when we gave our hearts to Christ, we were written in the book of life. They opened up this book, and these people that didn't know God was not in this book. Look at this. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. Look at verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each according to his works. Then death and Hades. Okay, what is Hades? Hades is hell. Let me just refresh your mind. Hell is just a holding tank. It's like when you get apprehended by a cop, they take you to jail, and then you have a court date, and if you did a heinous crime, then you're going to go to prison. But jail is just a holding place. Well, hell, which is a place of torment, is a holding place until final judgment comes. So, just so that you're clear. Look at this. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The sea. That means those who died out in the sea, and they either, like the Titanic that sunk. There's people whose dead bodies are still down there that didn't know Christ. Look at this. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast. What? And anyone found not written in the book. Wait, let's go back to verse. Let me just read what 13 says again. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, some of you, real quickly, I need to explain. Why does God say the second death? What do you mean? You gotta die twice? Okay. When I give a message at a funeral. I always talked about there's three types of life and there's three types of death. Okay, I want you to get this clear. Okay, let's talk about the three types of life. Number one, there's physical life. We're conceived in our mother's womb and we're pushed out and we have physical life. Okay, then when we become born again by the Spirit of God, then God gives us what? Spiritual life. What's the third life? When we this flesh expires, we then have eternal life. So we have physical life, spiritual life, and then eternal life. But what are the three types of death? What are the three types of death? Number one, we are born into this world, coming out of our mother's womb, spiritually dead. We're alive physical, but we're spiritually dead. We can't hear the things of God. We don't believe the things of God. We may read the Bible, but we don't get it. And we're just corrupt sinners. Then, after we are walking around like the living dead. You ever watch the living dead? We're walking around physically, but we're spiritually dead. But when we get saved, then God gives us spiritual life. We come alive unto God. So we're alive physically, but spiritually we're dead. Then when the body dies without Christ, then that's the second death. Okay? So the body has to die, goes back to the ground. And what is the third death? Eternal death. Where the body cannot die and you're physically being burned alive 24/7 in hell. For rejecting the only salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that now? There's three types of life and three types of death. Wow. It gets heavy when you start thinking about that. You see, saints, God must and will judge sin. He has a right to judge the world because He is God. And He is holy and just. Paul answers by reaffirming God's character. If God is not just, how is He then qualified to judge the world? God is a just God. Listen, aren't you so glad that He's a just God and not a fair God? We are saved and we are now justified by His blood. So when God the Father looks down at you, you that are saved, all He sees is the blood that has covered our sins. And so our position now in front of God, just as if we've never sinned. Even though we're sinners, even though we still have a sinful mind, He looks at us now because of the blood, just as if we didn't sin. So we're His. We're marked by the blood. How many are blessed to know that? Listen, we didn't have to text God for this. We didn't have to email Him. We didn't have to petition Him. We didn't have to write an application. No, it was all done by faith. Hallelujah. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God allowed Him to be crucified, to die for us. And He on the third day He rose again. And then He went away. And then He sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. So we're going to look at our last verse. Hermana, our last verse. Verse 7. For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to His glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? Good question, huh? Paul always asks these questions. But he always has the answers. Praise God. You see, this is the same question from verse 5. Posed with different words. The root problem is in people's misunderstanding of God's righteousness when he is patient to both unfaithful Jews and sinful Gentiles. God's merciful. I hope you know that. Listen, even though the Jews of today still don't believe him, we just read in Zechariah, when he comes back to the earth and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, he's going to show them his nail-pierced hands and the side that shed the blood for us. How many, and they're going to fall on their face. And they're going to say, Yeshua, Jesus is our Messiah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, both need to rely on God's righteousness and his dealings with them, and then choose to trust him or face his inevitable wrath for their sins. And I close with this in Ephesians. Look at this. In Ephesians 2:14, Paul wrote to Ephesus, and he said, "For himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." The separation was Jew and Gentile. He broke that down. He destroyed it. Because remember, we were heathenistic dogs to the Jews. And so we were separated, Jew and Gentile. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity." Enmity is something that could never mix. Like you ever try to put oil and water? It cannot mix. It separates right away, right? There's enmity. Automatically, you can shake it up and then let it settle and it separates. Oil and water. Okay? Well, that's who we were with Jews. We separated right away, Jew and Gentile. It didn't come together. Look at this. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." So he took the Jew and the Gentile, hallelujah, and made one new man. Look at this in verse 16. "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." He destroyed the separation. "And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." Verse 18. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Look what God has done. Look at this in verse 20. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So what is that saying? God is saving the Jew, God is saving us, and we are now one man in Christ. God made this happen because we were separated from them for all these years, for thousands of years. It was Jew and Gentile. Now we're one new man. Come on, someone got to give God a shout. If you're not happy what God has done for you, I don't know what will make you happy. We have eternal life now. We don't have to worry about this body failing us anymore. Yeah, we're going to grow older. Yeah, things are going to, you know, stop working or whatever. But then, sooner than later, we're going to be with him in the brand new body. And maybe, just maybe, you may be watching tonight, hearing this for the first time, second time. I don't know. And maybe you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great opportunity for those of you that are still watching on YouTube. Oh, yeah, and some of you Facebooks jumped on. Hallelujah. Praise God. But listen, God wants to do something radical in your life, something glorious in your life, something that you cannot do for yourself, and only Jesus can do this for you. By faith, I'm asking you now to surrender your life, to give your heart to Christ. Some of you have been boxing with God. Some of you have been running from God. But for whatever reason, He has you watching right now. You know why? Because He loves you. He doesn't want to see you perish. He wants to see you come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to save you like He saved us. And if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will have mercy on you and give you an opportunity to come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family now to pray with me as we pray for you. Let's bow our hearts and our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is He worthy? Come on, is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the